Thank you very much. So this is something that we did as a group, and I'm presenting on behalf of the group of other collaborators. And the objective is to describe a recent cholera outbreak we had in Kumasi, to be specific. It's the capital of the Ashanti region of Ghana. We'll look at the antibiotic resistance we observed for the cases that isolates of Vibrio cholerae were isolated on culture. We'll look at the current capacity for microbiology in the region and then make some suggestions on how to improve it. So this is briefly going to be the outline. We'll have a background of the area as well as the cases and then have a discussion and a few recommendations. I have to say, though, that this is not your typical outbreak investigation. The emphasis is on the antibiotic sensitivity patterns we observed and the implications for managing any future outbreaks if they should occur. So for those of us who may not be familiar with where Ghana is, it is somewhere on the west coast of Ghana with the Orange Arrow, with currently about a population of 25 million. There are 10 administrative districts, and the region where this outbreak investigation or this presentation is focusing on is on the Ashanti region. It is one of the 10 regions, and the emphasis is on the city of Kumasi, which is the capital city, where the health facility involved in the investigation of this outbreak is located. One other key thing about the location of Kumasi is that it serves as a transit point, a major transit point between the northern and the southern zones of the country. So in terms of epidemiology, it's quite significant. There are over 548 health facilities in the region. The majority of them, close to 60%, are privately owned. There is, however, a public health department, which has a reference lab for the middle zone of the country, and I think the Ashanti region is in yellow. So that is where we're talking about. And the reference lab takes care of the Brong-Ahafo region and the eastern region and the Ashanti region. The reason I mentioned the private health facilities has to do with the fact that most of them do not run services in terms of diagnostics if you have an outbreak of gastrointestinal illness of any cause. So it has implications for public health, and that's why I'm highlighting that. The last cholera outbreak in the city of Kumasi, which is where we're focusing on, was in 2006. There were over 700 cases with about 20 deaths. We have had sporadic cases of cholera recorded in the region over the period, and even in 2012 we had a few cases. There were, however, two major outbreaks in the region, and these districts were quite far from where we were. The other issue worth noting is that the capital city, which is Accra, had an outbreak of cholera. I don't know whether to call it a sustained or a propagated outbreak, but it had been going on for a couple of months in 2012, and it's surprising, as I mentioned, the fact that Kumasi serves as a major transit between the north and the south of the country, that we are not recorded any cases. So we were quite anticipating that this may happen sooner or later. This will also come up in the results we'll present, so we'll just give a brief background on the current guidelines for treating cholera in Ghana. And the antibiotics of choice currently are erythromycin and doxycycline, and tetracycline is the other alternative. In my practice, I haven't seen chloramphenicol or cotrimoxazole being used, so we'll stick to the first two. So let's look briefly at the cases we had. In the public health unit in our hospital, the Confalonchi Teaching Hostel, which is one of the facilities there, it's one of only three teaching hostels in the country, was notified of a family of three who presented with profuse watery diarrhea. I have to say that our surveillance system is quite passive, but this is one of the few occasions where we had clinicians actively reporting suspected cases to us. And these were followed up and confirmed as due to O1 subtype of cholera. Subsequently, we recorded about 23 cases over a four-week period. 16 of them had stool samples taken. We don't routinely take stool samples. Even in an outbreak, once it's confirmed, we usually manage the cases once they present with symptoms rather than do laboratory investigations. But we did try to get as many as we could. Some of them, antibiotic therapy was started before we were notified, so we would not take samples. But we had 16 samples taken, and we recorded two deaths as well. One of them was dead on arrival. So in all, 26 cases from the 27th of November to 26th December 2012. 4 to 70 years were the age ranges, and the cases were equally distributed amongst the sexes. The age group 20 to 29 being the most affected, as this pie chart is showing. So with the exception of the three initial cases, we couldn't demonstrate any epidemiological link between all the other cases we recorded. In fact, three suburbs of the city of Kumasi had two cases each. But even with those, we could still not demonstrate any association or link with them. And as I mentioned, there was an ongoing outbreak in the capital city at the point. So it was very difficult to be able to determine what the real sources of these cases were. With respect to investigations, we used alkaline peptone water. I know most people are used to Cariblair as a transport medium. We used alkaline peptone water because that's easily and readily available in the hospital. The sample is taken and it's a rectal swab we take, again, not a stool sample. So it's a rectal swab. It's incubated at 37 degrees Celsius between 18 to 24 hours. And then the subculture is plated on the selective medium for Vibrio cholerae and observed for growth after 24 hours. And then we go on further to do testing, antisera testing, using the polyvalent Ogawa Inaba antisera. Antibiotic sensitivity testing is also done, and this is based on the available antibiotic sensitivity tests. We would want to do specific testing using the antibiotics available, but where they are not, we resort to using the ones that are gram negative, and the sensitivity patterns are observed overnight. So 9 of them had Vibrio cholerae isolated, 8 were the Ogawa serotype, and 1 was Inaba. The only Inaba serotype we isolated was sensitive only to ciprofloxacin and resistant to all the other antibiotics we tested it with. So ampicillin, gentamicin, tetracycline, chloramphenicol, cotrimoxazole, and ceftriaxone. Now this is what we observed for the others. The brown shading is for sensitivity, and then the blue is for resistance. And as you can see, with ciprofloxacin and ceftriaxone, there was demonstrated sensitivity for all the 8 isolates of Ogawa, whereas there was at least a 50%, at least a 60% resistance amongst the other antibiotics. The other thing to note here is that while ciprofloxacin is oral, ceftriaxone is parenteral, so that again can present a challenge if we need to use that. I mentioned it wasn't a typical outbreak curve, so I'll just skip over this. Some of the public health actions undertaken were the notification and then also a designation of isolation ward. There isn't an isolation ward, but in case of an outbreak, an area is designated for managing such cases. And also there was the issue of dealing with potential cases. So triage, looking specifically for people coming with gastrointestinal illness and making sure that they are promptly attended to. Cholera is supposed to be treated free of charge in Ghana, and so we needed to acquire logistics from the appropriate quarters to manage the cases as and when they came. And we also had stakeholder meetings. Now we'll look at the current capacity. As I mentioned, our focus is on being able to identify the organism and also look at their antibiotic sensitivities. And in the region I mentioned, the Ashanti region, we have only two such places which have the capability to do those. Now, the Komfanoshi Teaching Hostel, KTH, is an autonomous facility, even though it's government. And so it does not run services routinely for the other facilities. The Zonal Reference Lab does that, which means that the other health facilities in the region do not have their capability to be able to diagnose such cases if they do happen. They have to send samples to the Zonal Reference Lab, and there have been challenges on some occasions with respect to transporting the samples to the lab for testing. So even though it's not a population, we don't have a defined population, we still found something which is consistent with previous outbreaks, which was that 20 to 29 year olds were commonly affected. The institutional case fatality rate is 1 out of 25, which is 4%. There's also still on the high side, even though we had only 25 cases. Most cholera outbreaks have far fewer or lower mortality rates. And then the issue of the management of cases, particularly with diagnosis, I think I've mentioned that as well. We recorded two cases of renal failure, even though we had a few cases. And we think that that also has or highlights some challenges with monitoring the cases when they are on admission. So I mentioned the capacity of the reference laboratory to make the diagnosis, and this is what most of the facilities in the region depend on. The observed antibiotic sensitivity pattern, if is anything to go by, we'll call for a revision of the current guidelines, because as you realize, doxycycline and the other ones had quite a significant level of resistance demonstrated amongst the strains we isolated. I also mentioned that there was an outbreak in Accra, which we were expecting that a similar thing could be replicated in Kumasi, but we did not find such a situation here. And it could be because the few cases, the cases we got were promptly dealt with. There was restriction, for example, to the isolation ward by people from outside, visitors and all, and even amongst some categories of staff. So that could have contributed to the fewer cases we saw. The other challenge, and I think I mentioned that earlier on as well, is the diverse backgrounds of the cases we had. We couldn't really establish links to any of the cases with the exception of the first three. So again, from the epidemiological standpoint, if you want to find a source, it was quite difficult for us. But we still believed that once they got into the health facilities, if we're able to enforce infection prevention measures, then we could be preventing further spread of such conditions. So our recommendations are that public health facilities should equip their laboratories to be able to deal with cases of cholera or any form of gastrointestinal illness when they come up, in terms of investigating and particularly looking at antibiotic sensitivity. Because we're not losing sight of the fact that our evidence is based on just 9 isolates, but in a situation where you don't have investigations being conducted for isolates, or even to find out whether really the cases we're having are due to Vibrio cholerae, then we're going to have challenges, or we may actually be given antibiotics which may not necessarily be effective. So we're recommending a review of the national guidelines, and if possible, training others on managing the complications of cholera. In particular, we did find that molecular techniques could also be useful in investigating antibiotic sensitivity patterns for some organisms. Even though we don't have the basic technology available in some places, we still think that these could be things we could consider in future. So I think that is it for my presentation. Thank you.
Would you like to take questions now or at the end? We have about 5 minutes if there's anyone with a question now, or we can wait till the end. Okay. Thank you.